We've been saying welcome home here for several years. It's been our opening statement in worship service, and we do want to welcome you home. Sarah and I came across a tremendous idea while we were in Missouri this week. It depends on who you talk to. Some people it was Missouri, and others it was Missouri. I found that most of them it was Missouri. So that's the way I say it. But in Missouri this week, you think there's a lot of churches around here. You have never seen a lot of churches until you get to Springfield. And the area of Springfield and down into Branson, Missouri. There are huge churches on every corner. But we drove by one that had a glass front, and they had a big illuminated foyer that said, "Welcome home." I said, "We need that." Because that's been our welcome for several years now, but we do want to welcome you home to Voice of Praise. Now, I didn't do this on purpose. You say, what didn't you do on purpose? I'm about to tell you. I didn't do this on purpose. Some of y'all know I can be sarcastic at times. I love to pick. A lot of you all know that. I love to joke and around and all. And I did not have any of those things in mind when I pulled the title for this message this morning. But you'll understand more as we get into it. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn them to Psalms 40. That's where we're going to be going this morning. But as we get to Psalms 40, I want to preach a message to you that the mud won't last forever. Okay? No sarcasm intended this morning, okay? The mud won't last forever is the message that I want to preach to you this morning. And Lord knows we understand mud this morning, don't we? Has anybody got any dry patches in your yard right now? Yeah. None of us probably do, okay? In fact, we would probably really love to see a dry patch of land every once in a while. It's muddy. It has rained. It is raining some more. It's supposed to snow this week. Where is all the water going to go? I don't know, but Jesus will take care of it, okay? It may be uncomfortable and inconvenient for us, but the Lord's in control. But I want us to go to Psalms chapter 40 as we bear the thought in mind, the mud won't last forever. Psalms 40 in verses 1 through 3, the psalmist wrote these words. I waited patiently for the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord. Somehow I have a problem identifying with that. Patience is not one of my virtues, is it, Sister Sarah? But it was for David, apparently. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth and a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. I do want to keep that thought in mind this morning that we are in a muddy situation, but it's not going to last forever. Sometimes people like David, who are people after God's own heart, even find themselves in slimy pit. I'm sure that you are a fine person. I'm sure you may chase after God. You may be a praying person. You may be a person full of the Holy Spirit and walk the back of the pew, swing from the chandelier, speak in tongues, and do all of those things that we deem spiritual. But in reality, we all have those times that we find ourselves in the slimy pit. In the mud. Now, sometimes our mud pits, not the one down the road, but sometimes our mud pits are self-inflicted. Sometimes we make our own mud. Kids don't understand how to play like we did, those of us that are older in this room. We understood how to play when I was a kid. All we needed to do was to get us a pan of water, find us a pan of water, and we went out on into my grandpa's lawnmower shop, which had a dirt floor in it, that old silk black looking dirt in the floor of that shed. And we would go out on Sunday, me and my sister and all of our cousins, and we could make some of the best mud pies that you ever had in your life. Any of y'all ever had a mud pie? You know what I'm talking about? We can make some mud pies now at Granny Thompson's house. I even was forced by my older sister to test them at times. God made dirt. Dirt won't hurt. Put it in your mouth and just watch it work. You know. But sometimes we make our own mud. Sometimes we create our own circumstances. Sometimes we do it intentionally. Sometimes it's more so by accident. Sometimes the mud pit is seemingly our destiny. Sometimes we find ourselves being, if you would, like Jobs of old. We find ourselves modern day Jobs. It seems like everything that can go wrong will go wrong, and we live out that law, so to speak. But mud pits come. Mud pits are there in our lives. But when we find ourselves in the mud pits, we must look at what David did. That's what I'm encouraging us to do this morning. David waited patiently for the Lord, and he cried out to him. Patience is a key word in this passage of scripture this morning. Patience is that virtue, as I've already said, that I don't possess. So I'm preaching to myself this morning. But how many of us are really want what we want, and we want it now? When I was doing cars and in the car business, and there's a few people in this room can probably identify this, the best type of car shopper you could find is that one that was coming to do impulse buying. They just saw it. They liked that red car. Bang. They bought it right there on the spot without giving it a second thought. No, we're an impatient society of people. We want what we want, and most of the time we want it yesterday. We're impatient. We're not willing to wait. We're not willing. If you don't believe people are impatient in this world that we live in, I encourage you just to go over, jump on 77 at Princeton, and come back down to exit 1. And you'll find out how patient the world is. And sometimes when we don't get that answer that we want as quickly as we want it, then we perceive in our minds and in our thoughts, we perceive that the delay is not an answer at all, that God's not hearing us, that God's not talking to us, God's not listening to us. But understand this with me this morning. Just because we don't get the answer when we want it, how we want it, in the timetable that we expect to get it, that doesn't mean God is not listening to us. We're in the pit. We're in the mud. But God is able to sustain us even when we are buried deep in the mud. And He does sustain us when we're buried deep in the mud. I can relate to this story a little bit. We sat in this conference in Missouri this week, and they were talking about a Bible professor at Asbury Seminary. You shouldn't use story illustrations in your sermons, but I didn't sit in his class, so I'm going to go ahead and tell a story. I may have told this one before, but it's worthy of telling again. There was a family lived up the road from us when we were kids, and it was the King family, K-I-N-G, just like the tire store. The King family lived just up the road from us. We went up and we got off the bus, my sister and I did, at the King residence. We got off with our friends Chris and Beverly King. They were kids too, same age as us. And we got up there at the King's house, and we were playing Tonka trucks. The real ones, made out of metal, where if you fell on them, it bruised and cut you all to pieces, but it didn't break like plastic. Chris's daddy, Mr. Landon King, he had been working on a new bathroom for their house. It was a hole about this big around and about 4 foot deep in the ground. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Can you all relate to what I'm talking about? Just to the other side of that new bathroom project was a little, about a 4x4 wooden old bathroom that would soon be moved. Now do you get what I'm talking about? Mr. King came out. He said, boys, he said he had put plywood or some kind of wood over that hole. He said, boys, he said, y'all can play on this dirt with your trucks as long as you want to. He said, but don't move those boards. Man, Chris and I, we had our Tonka dozers and our Tonka trucks. We had them going, man. We was moving some dirt. And all of a sudden we had a pile of dirt here and a pile of dirt here. And we needed a bridge to get from one mountaintop to the other. There's the boards. In spite of our instruction, we took the boards. We made us a bridge from one mound of dirt over to the other mound of dirt. And it wasn't but just a few minutes. I came around the mountain with my yellow Tonka truck with a load of dirt on it. And the next thing I knew, I was looking up from the miry pit. Fortunately, it was the new one, okay? But it was full of mud and water, and I thought I was dying. I thought I was dying. I've been this tall. Listen, I've been this tall since I was in fifth. I was probably about this tall already then. But I thought I was dying. I mean, water was up to here, and fish worms were swimming around my neck, you know. And I thought I was dying. I'm screaming and hollering, and here comes my big sister that I thought hated me, but she was willing to try to pull me out of the pit, but she couldn't do it. She got Chris and Beverly. They couldn't do it. But she called on Dad. They called on Dad. Not our dad. My dad would have probably said, boy, you don't, yeah. They went and got Mr. King, and Mr. King pulled me out of the pit. The dad of the property pulled me out of the pit. Understand, in our life, sometimes I thought I was there forever. I probably wasn't there, but just a few minutes, but I thought I was there forever. And sometimes when we think that we've been in the pit forever and we're drowning and the fish worms are swimming around our head, listen to me, don't get alarmed, because Dad is on the way to pull us out of the pit and deliver it. And listen, when I come out, I was wet, I was muddy, I had fish worms stuck to me. I was a nasty mess. Daddy wouldn't let me get. He made me sit down in the floorboard of a 62 Chevrolet that we had to ride home on. He wouldn't even let me sit on the seats. But the reality of it is, I survived the pit because Mr. King, the dad, came and pulled me out. Understand this with me this morning. God is not out to leave any of us in the pit. He's not out to let any of us drown there. Hey, I've been watching those Tarzan movies. I just knew I was going to keep sinking like it was quicksand. I was going to die, but Mr. King, the dad, came along and he made a way for me to get out. Now, God is making a way for us even when we're in the pit. So don't perceive your delay as a non-answer, because Daddy's on the way. Okay? There's three things I want you to remember. There's three things that will occur when we are in the pit. The first thing is, when we cry out to Him, He will respond. He will respond. God is not deaf. He's not gone on vacation. You remember that story of the prophets? Where's your God? Has he got on vacation? No, our God, Jehovah God, doesn't go on vacation. He doesn't take sabbaticals. He doesn't go on leave. He doesn't even take naps. God, listen, God will and does respond. David said in verse 1, he turned to me and he heard my cry. Realize that when you cry out to the Lord, you or I, when we cry out to the Lord, we get his full attention. Raylan just cried out. She got Gigi's attention. When we cry out to the Lord, we get his full attention. There is nothing that you and I have done. Listen, don't listen to the naysayers. There is nothing that you and I have done that would keep God from listening to us today if we will come to him with a sincere prayer, seeking repentance, seeking restoration, seeking deliverance, seeking those things that we need. If we will turn to God in the sincerity of our heart, he is going to listen. And the second thing that we find is, not only does God respond, but God will rescue. God will rescue. I always sort of thought Mr. King was sort of somewhat of a mean man. He didn't say a lot. You know, and I always thought he didn't like me and he was mean, but thank God he pulled me out of that pit with the fish worms and everything else that could have been in there. Sometimes we have a perception of God, and our perception of God affects how we believe him in the reality. And sometimes we perceive that God has abandoned us. Sometimes we perceive God is some ogre, a mean God that doesn't love us, that doesn't like us. But no, God is a God of rescue. He is a rescuer. He will rescue you. David said, I not only was patient, he turned to me when I cried out. And then in verse 2, David said, he rescued me. He said it in these terms. He lifted me out of the slimy pit and out of the mud and the mire. God wants to pull us out of the pit. God wants to pull us out of the circumstances that we're in, even if we made our own mud. Even if we made our own mud, he still has such a love that he'll pull us out. If you don't believe me, you go to Matthew chapter 7 there. In Matthew chapter 7, begin reading at verse 9. When Jesus said, which of you, if he asks his son for bread, will he give a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a steak? And you, if then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those that ask him? God wants the absolute best for us. And sometimes it even happens in spite of our own selves. God wants to bless us with good things. He wants to pull us out of the pit. He wants to help us even when we're wandering on dry ground. The Lord has no intention of making us dwell in those places forever and ever. He has better for us. God has no intention for humanity to dwell in hell, to find a dwelling place there. If a person goes to hell, I am a firm believer that they have went to hell against the best wishes and what God has willed for their life. God has never sent one person to hell. But it's a choice. It's a choice that people make when they refuse to surrender to the Lord, when they refuse to give themselves over to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, then they have found themselves making a decision for eternity in hell. But God never sent that. In fact, the Bible describes hell as a place created for the devil and his angels. For one of us to go to hell, we would be going as an imposter and an intruder. There is no welcoming committee there. But yet, if we will turn to him, he said, I'll deliver you from out of the slimy pit. We could ad lib that just a little bit. He said, I will deliver you from out of the pit of hell. If you will turn to me, if you'll surrender your life to me, Thirdly, God's will is to restore. He responds. He rescues us. You know, I told you when I got drug out of that pit, man, I was a nasty mess. I was muddy. I was dirty. I had fish worms hanging off of me. Man, it was awful. Any of y'all ever had an older sister that fussed at you all the time? You know, my older sister, yeah, she couldn't wait. She could not wait to tell Mama and Daddy what I had done. We didn't have telephones. King didn't have one. We didn't have one either. So we're just waiting on Daddy to show up. And here she goes running before he could even get the car pulled in the driveway. You see, you have an accuser. His name is the devil. He would like to accuse you. He would like to run out to the car and tell Daddy everything that you've done wrong. All the stuff, all the trouble that you've got into. He's called an accuser of the brethren. But I want you to know this today. That Jesus is not interested in what your accuser has to say. He doesn't want to hear what he has. The only thing that he is looking for is his blood covering your life, his blood covering my life. And when the blood of Jesus has covered our lives, he responds, he rescues, but we find that he also restores. And in verse 2, David said, he set my feet upon a rock and he gave me a firm place to stand. A foundation. There is no other foundation other than the foundation of Jesus Christ that we can firmly build upon in our spiritual relationship. You can have all the money in the bank. You can have all the riches in the world. You can have all of the education that can be obtained. You can have everything that you think you need. But listen, if you and I do not have a foundation that is built in faith upon Jesus Christ, the solid rock, then we have built on sinking sands. And when the storms come, when the winds come, we'll be washed away, we'll be blown away. But realize this, when David said he set my feet upon the rock, he was saying he'd give me a place of stability. God is responding to our needs. He's rescuing us out of the pit. And not only is he doing that, but he is giving us a place of stability in our lives. And let me tell you, that is something that this country of ours needs, is a place of stability. I've said it in our life group this morning, and I'm not trying to get all political today, and I'm not promoting either side of the political fence, as they call it, or either side of the coin. But let me tell you this, even though I'm pleased with some things I'm seeing in our country right now, let me tell you, no man will ever be the savior of the world other than Jesus Christ. And we must guard our hearts and not to put all of our confidence and all of our hope in the makings of a man or a department of men and women. But we must realize that it's not government that saves our soul. It's not the economy that saves our soul. Because the poorest person in the most vile part of the African continent can still be saved and have their life built upon the solid rock. And we can have all power and all money and all wealth and all those things we think we need and still die lost. But it's Jesus that restores us. It's Jesus that sets our foot upon the rock. It's Jesus that brings us into a substantial or a solid place, if you would. You see, the problem is a lot of people stop in their rescue before they get to this restoration part. Because the restoration comes through a relationship with God through and by Jesus Christ. This morning, as Sarah and I were coming up 460, since they opened the new road, we haven't been coming 460. We come around, but I thought Airport Road here of late, I don't know why, but Airport Road has got a pond in right in the middle of it, you know, just a little ways up. And I figured, boy, if it's ever going to have a pond, today's going to be pond day, you know. So we decided we'd come through town. We're coming up 460. I'm right there between Concert Music and, Gabe's store, Tractor Supply, and I look up, and here comes the lights of a vehicle our way. A vehicle going eastbound in the westbound lane. And we're going westbound in the westbound lane. And I start flashing my lights and moving over. And Sarah, Sarah, she didn't even know what was going on. She said, "What are you doing?" Yeah, we didn't know what was going on. And I said, "These people are going to get somebody killed. They're going to get somebody hurt." It didn't even faze them. You know, I mean, they were zooming. And if it was you, I'm sorry, but you scared the bejeebies out of me. Anybody in here got a white Cadillac Escalade? You know, no. Okay, we're good. But I immediately picked up my phone and dialed 911 to just tell somebody before somebody gets killed, somebody gets injured, something bad's going to happen. 911. I love it. Somebody the other day, somebody said, "I was going to call 911, but I couldn't remember their phone number." Some of y'all will get that later on. I called 911. 911's become very customary to us, hadn't it? When we have trouble, when we have problems, we call 911. What does 911 mean? It means it's emergency. It means I need help. Somebody needs help. Please help. Do something. But after I called 911, talked to the dispatcher, you know what I did? I hung up. I don't know what happened to that car that was going the wrong direction. I hope and pray nobody got injured. I hope and pray there wasn't an accident. If there was, I still did my part. But I said all that to say this. You know, sometimes we use God like 911. Hello. Sometimes we use God like 911. We'll make our call, 911, and then we, you know, once the need's met, we go back to whatever we's doing. Can I say that? We is doing. That's not proper English. We is doing. We go back to whatever we is doing. Y'all know what that means, don't you? We go back to it, and you know, I did that this morning on my phone with Mercer County Sheriff's Department, but the reality of it is we want to call 911, we want to call God. I should have brought my little button in here. I got a little button in there for on my desk, you can mash it, and it says, you know, something like, "How may I help you?" Or, you know, I preached a message with it one time. But the reality is, we will call, we will use God just like He's a 911 call center. "We're in trouble, God, I'm going to call you. And I expect you to help me, but I won't talk to you again until I need to call 911 again." You know. You see, God wants us to be more than a 911 call. He wants us to be more than just calling when we're in an emergency situation. He wants to be there for us and work in our lives. He, when we make those steps, that God becomes more than just a 911 call. He becomes more than a security blanket. He becomes more than a spare tire in the back of our car, in the trunk of our car, or underneath our truck. When He becomes more than that to us, when He becomes my need, I need you, God, every single day of my life. I need you through good times. I need you through bad times. I need you in every time of my life. Then we will find ourselves coming to that place of restoration. And then let's think of outside the pit. You've heard that terminology, outside the box. Let's think about outside of the pit. From out of the mud, God will do two things. From out of the mud, God will be revered. He will be praised. He's to be praised for where He brought us from. You say, "Well, I really wasn't that bad a person before I got saved." You're still lost as anybody else. God is to be revered. He's to be praised. You may have been a drug addict. You may have been a prostitute. You could have been a dealer, a pusher. You could have been a drunk. You could have been a robber, a thief. You could have been a murderer. Or you could have been that good person that just needed to get saved. But whatever the case is, God is to be revered for pulling us out of the pit. He's to be praised for lifting us out and setting our feet on solid ground. He should put a new song in our mouth and a hymn of praise in our heart. The normal action to be rescued. Yeah, many of you know I love the Andy Griffith Show, my favorite TV show. We still watch it nearly every day of the week, or nearly every weekday of the week. We still watch, except Wednesday, because we have church on Wednesday. Don't watch Andy Griffith on Wednesday. Go to church. Okay. But what I love Andy Griffith shows, and there's probably bits and pieces of just about every one I can remember, but I can't put them all together at the same time. But I remember the one where Gomer has the incident, and Gomer Pyle has the incident, and gas is leaking, or he sets the filling station catches on fire, and Andy runs in, Gomer's asleep, and he puts out the fire, and from that time on, Gomer's chopping wood, and he's painting Andy's house and doing everything. He's helping Opie across the crosswalk, and Gomer says, "Hey, Mr. Lifesaver Man, that's nothing to repay the man that saved my life." Some of y'all remember that. Some of y'all don't never watch it. But let me tell you, the price that Jesus Christ paid on Calvary to pull us out of the pit of sin, and he pulls us out of the pit of circumstances, and he pulls us out of the pits that we've made our, that wherein we have made our own mud, and he pulls us out of those places. He is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be worshiped. He is worthy to be glorified. We should be shouting his name. Blessed be the name of the Lord who delivered me out of the miry pit. Just like David saying, I don't believe he recited this song under the sound of his breath, but I believe he was shouting it and singing it out loud. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord that delivered me out of the miry pit, that set my feet upon the solid rock. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. I have been set free. I'm free. I'm free, and I'm free indeed. That's the praise that he's due. He's to be revered. And secondly, from out of the pit, God will be revealed. He will be revealed. If y'all want to come back to the music. He will be revealed. Verse 3, going back to the Psalms that we took text from. Verse 3. We find that the scripture says, many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. You know what? Many of you call me pastor. Some of you call me worse names than that. Many of y'all call me pastor. Some people call me preacher. Some people call me Fred. Some people call me NR. For those that you that have been anxious to know that still don't know, my name is Norris. And there's even a couple people, not very many, that call me Norris. Most people don't call me that because I won't answer to it. But the reality is, every one of us in here, every single person in this room, has a commission to preach. You may not pastor a church, you may not be an evangelist, you may not be a Bible teacher or anything like that, but every one of us, in the sense of preaching, in the sense of sharing the gospel, every single one of us has a responsibility to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. You may be as backward as backward can be. You may be shy. You may be introvert. You may be all kinds of different words and categories that you could be placed in. But let me remind you of one thing. Every single one of us, every single one of us is a light. You know, I listen to a lot of older music because I'm old, okay? But the other day when we were in Missouri, we were just flipping through radio stations, and I ran across a radio, I think it was radio, it may be on the phone, I don't remember. But I ran across, it was Donna Fargo. Any of y'all remember that one? I'm giving you a history lesson today. Anybody remember Donna Fargo? She was a country singer, for those of you that don't know. And yes, I have listened to country before. I don't listen to modern country because it's not country. I was country when country wasn't cool. But Donna Fargo sang a song, and that song says, "You can't be a beacon if your light don't shine." Every single one of us, every single one of us have the commissioning to be a light. We're the light of the world. If you're a Christian, you're the salt of the earth. If you're a Christian, we're the light of the earth. The world, and in the darkness of the world, and you say, well, it's not dark outside now yet, but the world is dark. The world's darkened with sin. And in the darkness of the world, we are commissioned to shine, to be a light that shines through, that penetrates the darkness of the light, of the night. See, the Bible says that light overcame darkness and darkness comprehended it not. That means that darkness has no power over light. You can turn the lights off in this room, block those windows out back there on that door, and this room would be totally dark until somebody picks up and touches their cell phone. And suddenly it's no longer dark. Darkness and light cannot dwell together. Once Jesus comes into our life, we're no longer given to darkness, but we are given to life. And the glory of God is revealed. When God has pulled us out of the pit, when He's pulled us out of the slime and the muck and the mud and the fish worms and the stinky water and everything else that is found in the pit, when He pulls us out of the pit and He sets our feet upon solid ground, His glory is revealed through us. You might not realize this, but what God has done in each of your lives, what God has done in your life is a miraculous thing. What He's done in my life is a miraculous thing. And His glory is revealed through us. Because I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. So God reveals through us. It's a profound thing when God pulls us out of the pit. So you may not see a purpose in what you're going through now. You may not see that any good's going to come out of the pit that you're in. You may feel guilty that you dug your own pit and made your own mud. You may think, like I did for a few moments, up on top of Sand Mountain in Wythe County, Virginia, when I was standing in that pit and the fish worms were floating around my neck, I thought I was going to die. You may think that you're going to die right where you're at, but I have news for you. God has something better for you. Wait upon Him. Seek His face. Wait upon Him, and He will come and He will pull you out and He will set your feet upon solid ground. The delay that you are experiencing, whether it's been lengthy, it could have been years or it may just be a few moments of time, but the delay that you're experiencing is not a denial, but God is being glorified in all that He does in your life. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. I can't promise you that in my own right, but this promises you that. And it is right. So don't worry. It's going to be okay. The mud is going to dry up. Probably in a few months from now, we'll be complaining about hot days and mowing grass. A few months from now, we'll say, boy, I tell you what, I wish it'd rain on my mater plants. We'll forget about the mud. The mud won't last forever. The mud's not going to last forever in your life. Just give it to Jesus and let Him walk this journey with you. Let Him carry you on this journey. I want you to close your eyes and bow your heads with me for just a minute. The first, foremost, greatest need that could exist in this room today is the need of salvation. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved, or if you've turned and walked away from the Lord, you've departed from Him and you need to return back home, you've been a prodigal per se, That's the greatest need that could occur in this room. If you need to make yourself in a, put yourself in a right relationship with the Lord without embarrassing you, I'm not going to come to you, I'm not going to pull you out, and I'm not going to call you out. But would you just real quickly just raise your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me. I know I'm in the pit and I need to get out. I need to be saved. Would you slip your hand up? Anybody in this room? I need to rededicate my life, Pastor. I take it by the lack of response that everybody in this room is comfortable where you're at in your relationship with the Lord. So I want to ask you another question. You can look my way if you'd like. If you're here now and you've been in a pit for a while, you wonder if you're ever going to get out of the pit. You wonder if you're going to ever get out of this muddy encounter that you're stuck in. You're getting anxious. You're wanting it to happen. If that's you this morning, I want you to just wave at me right now. Just wave at me. Pastor, pray for me. Thank you. Anybody else? Any other hands? Thank you. Other hands going up. Those of you that raised your hand, by no means would I ever embarrass you, but I would like for us to corporately pray for you. So if you raise your hand up, if you're dealing with the pit, you know, the mud, the muck, the fish worms floating around your head, if that's you and you're wondering if it's ever going to end, you're ever going to get out, especially if you raised your hand or you didn't raise your hand, I want you to come up here. We want to have prayer with you. Anybody that can or will. I want some people to come up to be prayer. Listen, your pit could be physical. Your pit could be financial. Your pit could be an addiction. Drugs, alcohol, pornography. All kinds of different things. You know, there's all kinds of things. It could be bad decisions that you've made in life. But whatever's caused your pit, that's not the issue this morning. But what is important is God is the one to deliver you out of the pit. Amen. Amen.